Within the pages of the Bible are the answers to man's most pressing needs. As you listen to the following message, you're encouraged to write down the scripture reference as they are given and to accept only what you can read for yourself from your own Bible. If you wish, you're also welcome to tape record this entire presentation for future study. All quotations are taken from the King James Version of the Bible, unless otherwise indicated. This is Bible Call Tape number 52, The Promises of God. We are all accustomed to promises. We are also accustomed to seeing them made and broken. Anyone who has lived for a number of years would certainly never lay claim to having kept every promise that he's made. There are many reasons why this is true. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we are negligent. And sometimes it may be due to circumstances beyond our control. A broken-hearted young lady will often say, "But he promised to marry me." And the answer comes back, "Yes, but I changed my mind." People do change their mind, and they do break their promises. What about the promises of God? How certain are they? The Apostle Paul, in writing about the promises of God to Abraham, addressed the church at Rome with these words, "For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed." Romans chapter 4, verses 13 and verse 16. God's promise to Abraham was first spelled out in Genesis chapter 12. It was repeated in chapter 22. Verse 18 reads, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Now, a promise is of no more value than is the ability of one who makes it to carry through. It also includes willingness to do so. God did carry through with Abraham. Paul points out in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, that it was through Christ God intended to fulfill the promise to Abraham. Also in Acts chapter 13, verses 32 and 33, the apostle says, "And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again." The contour of Jesus' life while living on the earth was shaped by his trust in the power of the promises of God. When Jesus said, "I am that bread of life," in John chapter 6 and verse 48, "I am the light of the world," John 8 verse 12, "I am the resurrection of the life," in John chapter 11 and verse 25, he did so fully realizing that he had been empowered with this right by the Father who had promised to raise him from the grave. There were more than 500 brethren at one time who bore witness to the fulfillment of this promise, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. What can be said about God's promises to us? Well, first of all, he's promised to supply every need we have. The Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ." That's Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Now notice, God has obligated himself only to the extent of our needs. That would include food, clothing, shelter, companionship, love, and salvation through Jesus Christ. It would not include the multiplicity of luxuries that we've come to think of as needs. In the second place, God has promised that his grace is sufficient for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. In fact, he's made provision for our salvation by his grace through faith. Read Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. It is through an obedient faith that we have access into the grace of God, according to Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. In the third place, God has promised that his children will not be overtaken with temptation. Instead, he assures us that a way of escape will be provided. This promise is recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Jude wrote, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Jude, verse 24. Darius, king of the Medes, said to Daniel, Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Daniel 6, verse 16. He did deliver Daniel from the den of lions. Fourth, God has promised us victory over death. He first raised Jesus by way of assuring our resurrection. Peter said, This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. Acts chapter 2, verse 32. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. Later on he adds, But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. Fifth, God has promised that all things work together for good to those who love and serve him faithfully. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It may be difficult for us to see and understand how this is accomplished at times, but God has promised it, and he will deliver. Sixth, God has promised that those who believe in Jesus and are baptized for the forgiveness of sins will be saved. Read Mark chapter 16, verse 16, and Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And seventh, God has promised his people eternal life. John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28. In closing, let me appeal to you to live so that the promises of God will be yours. Thank you for calling Bible Call. This is the end of this message.